The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah. ESPN 1000. And now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We're here till 8 o'clock talking football with you, talking basketball with you. The Bulls play later on tonight. We'll preview the Bulls and the Hornets coming up this evening. We have a lot to get into, Abdallah, but how about this? Let's start things off on a Monday with a call. Why don't we do that? Todd in Crystal Lake. Todd, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
What's up, man?
So, good news for Notre Dame fans everywhere. If LSU is gonna take Brian Kelly off our hands, I mean, look, the guy can recruit. He gets players to come in and turns them into NFL talent. But he has never and will never win an important game. He'll never win a game that he's an underdog in. He'll never beat any team in the college football playoffs, even if they expand. He doesn't win big games, and every season is just a tease to see if we're going to get to 11-1 or 12-0 and make the college football playoffs and then get our butts handed to us by whoever else is in the bracket.
Well, it's a good point, Todd, because I think that Kelly is a good recruiter, I think. Like, he's gotten good defenses. He hasn't been able to recruit that stud quarterback there. But to your point is, if you're a five-star recruit, a four-star recruit, and you're debating between Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, let's throw, who else is in there, a big team that's high, Georgia's in there, that's high on recruiting, and Notre Dame. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to Alabama, you're going to go to Ohio State, you're going to go to one of those other schools. Like, Notre Dame is probably lowest on that list, just because of we've talked about it before, Chris, the luster of Notre Dame. Like, this isn't the 80s and 90s anymore. This isn't like the old Notre Dame where Notre Dame was Notre Dame. Like, they're a good team, but to your point, Todd, on the biggest stages, they lose to Cincinnati this year. They've lost to Georgia before. They've gotten stomped by Alabama in the BCS and in the college football playoff. I mean, it's been, as far as big games go, and that's always been the criticism of Jim Harbaugh, in big games, Brian Kelly hasn't been that great.
No, and not even big games. I mean, there's a lot of games this season, previous seasons, where lesser talented teams, lesser ranked teams have hung around and they've made it a lot closer. I mean, hell, even the Wisconsin game was close until a couple of defensive stands, like late in the third, you know, early in the fourth quarter, kind of swung that gate and, you know, let the floodgates open. But yeah, it's just disheartening, and knowing that, you know, they could have a one-loss season or an undefeated season and still have absolutely zero hope of actually winning the championship is worthless. I mean, it's like you're just wasting every weekend leading up to that, knowing that something bad is going to happen as soon as a real, you know, quality team lines up on the other side.
Yeah, and Todd, I think the point to kind of also make on that is that, like, the tradition of Notre Dame football is they expect to be fighting for national titles. Even though, like Adam said, it hasn't been the case for ND in quite some time. They've been sniffing around, like, top 10, top 5. They've gotten to the college football playoff. This year, they have an outside chance at getting into the college football playoff. We'll see what takes place this upcoming weekend with championship weekend. But if you have the history and the thirst for more as a university, as a football school, like, yeah, he hasn't gotten it done. Now, what Todd is referring to, if you're just joining us, The Athletic tonight is reporting that LSU is trying to pursue Brian Kelly as their next head football coach. And, you know, a lot of this is like the after effects of what we saw yesterday. USC took the big swing. They went after Lincoln Riley, and they landed him.
Mm-hmm.
No one expected Lincoln Riley to be leaving Oklahoma. You and I, on Saturday, we were here hosting Chicago's College Tailgate. And what did I say to you? I said to you on Saturday, you know, it sounds like Matt Campbell's the guy from all indications. He's been the guy that people have talked about in Southern California for a few years now as a possible replacement for Clay Helton. And then I said to you, the dream guy would be Lincoln Riley. If they wanted to go big season hunting, go after someone, the biggest fish possible, that would be the guy to try and land.
Yeah.
And they took a swing, and he was interested, and they landed him. He was introduced at USC a little bit ago. And so USC has that new head coach, and now LSU, seeing how that played out, is probably thinking to themselves, you know, the guys that were available, many of them re-upped with their own schools, like the James Franklins of the world. But also, you know, if USC can go and pry someone out of a location that we didn't think it was possible, perhaps a school like LSU, which when you consider all things in the last 20 years of college football, they are in the top five conversation of the most impactful universities when you play college football. So I wonder if the way USC went about landing Lincoln Riley kind of also set up this idea for LSU that whoever is on the list, let's go try and get them because maybe they're willing to leave.
Well, the other thing of this could be, you know, if you're Notre Dame, is there a better coach out there than Brian Kelly for you? Like, can you do better than Brian Kelly?
I don't think so. I think Brian Kelly is my point. Like, this is a really good fit right
now. So that's my point, is that if you're Brian Kelly and you're like, this dude's getting $120 million.
Yeah, well.
You know, you've got dudes getting nine. You've got James Franklin making $8.5 million. You got Mel Tucker making $9.5 million after how many years at Michigan State, and they're already giving him $9.5 million a year for 10 years,
right,
guaranteed. Like, what? And I'm making $2.5 million a year, and I'm losing. I'm got the most wins in Notre Dame history. Like, what are we doing? I'm only making $2.5 million. Like, you can pony up and give me a little more. Like, I'm not saying he's going to get $10 million a year out of this. But this could also be a power play by an agent to try to say, hey, LSU, you know, make him an offer, and then just to get the more money out of Notre Dame. Because Brian Kelly deserves to be making more than $2.5 million. Ryan Day deserves to be making more than $4 million. So if you're looking at it that way, the rumors happen because they're rumors, but sometimes the rumors happen for a reason, to try to get more money. Like yesterday, Adam Schefter is reporting that Oklahoma was interested in Cliff Kingsbury. Are they? Or Cliff Kingsbury, excuse me, on the last year of a deal, with 1 year left on a deal, wants more stability in Arizona. Like, what's going on? So you got to look at these things both ways. I don't think Brian Kelly would leave to go to LSU. I just think he wants a better payday.
It's pretty interesting. You know, Notre Dame fans, what you've seen from Brian Kelly in the last 5 years specifically is a little bit different than what you saw in the previous 5 years. Now, you did get to the BCS championship game in 2012. Things did not go your way in that contest, but you were 12-1 and you were like at the Mecca. You were at the top point in all of college football. 13, 14, 15, not great. 16, the Fighting Irish went 4-8. And the talk about Brian Kelly as a hot coaching candidate or a guy who could jump to the NFL, it started to kind of fizzle a little because they were a losing team in 2016. But since then, 2017, Brian Kelly, the Fighting Irish go 10-3. They followed up in 2018, going 12-1. They finished that year ranked fifth in the AP. How about this? 2019, they go 11-2. Last year, 10-2. They also finished fifth in the AP last season. And now they are 11-1. Waiting for the college football playoff selection show this Sunday, the 5th, to figure out whether or not they get into the college football playoff. What Brian Kelly's done in the last 5 years, you know, Waddle said it about 30 minutes ago here on ESPN 1000 on Waddle and Sylvie that his opinion of Brian Kelly changed of him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our opinion of him has changed as well. You and I would kill him in the past, but in the last 2 years, like, I've really started to acknowledge and respect the job he's done in South Bend.
Well, he's changed. Our opinion has changed because he changed, right? Like, there was a story when we first started doing Chicago's College Tailgate 4 years ago, right? That Brian Kelly was a different Brian Kelly.
Sure.
He started doing yoga. He had, like the, no, I'm not kidding. No, remember, there was a story, like, the Athletic.
I remember us talking about it.
They
yeah.
did, like, he had a yoga mat in his office, and the reporter was like, what's that for? And he was like, well, I do yoga now, and he's a lot more calm. Like, we used to get it at least two times a year. A snowy, red-faced Brian Kelly screaming at a quarterback. He doesn't do that anymore. Like, he doesn't, he's much more calm. He's much more comfortable as a head coach. I feel like he's a different head coach. And for, I didn't like him because he was just kind of not, I don't want to say mean. He was arrogant,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
I don't think he's arrogant anymore. So I think that that's why I still don't like Notre Dame. Like, I don't like Notre Dame. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. You're a USC fan. You very much dislike Notre Dame. But as far as like a guy.
He's done a great job. And,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, game recognized game, right?
Yeah.
He's a very good head coach. I would say he's a great head coach with the right talent. He just hasn't been able to recruit the quarterback yet. And I wonder if going to LSU, he'd be able to for sure.
Chris in Wisconsin listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Chris. He gone.
Chris gone. All right,
that's
we'll
okay.
go to Eric on the north side. Eric, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, guys? Hey, yeah, I want to jump in, too, on that. Real quick, I was going to talk Bulls, but that Notre Dame thing, man. He was, if you look back at this, in the early days, he used to be a maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but his style of play kind of changed, too. If you look at it in the early days, he was more spread, wide open, blah, blah, blah. But I wanted to get to the Bulls real quick. Just a quick mm-hmm. question so you guys can go back to the college. Do you guys believe this year, if there is that disgruntled superstar, to go and get him now knowing you got DeRozan and Levine playing the way they are? What would you guys do if something came up? Would you pull that trigger?
Well, to answer your question with a question, what are you giving up?
Okay, I would maybe Pat Williams, Kobe White.
Yeah, I mean, so think about what you just said. What do you think you're getting back for that? You're not getting a superstar back for that.
Okay.
No, man, so it's something to think about, because, and thanks for the call, Eric, and we'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Like, yeah, it seems like the Bulls do have a ceiling to what they can accomplish this season. But you also have to consider, if you want to land a superstar, say like a Damian Lillard, or I know he's not available, but like James Harden in years past, like you're going to have to give up something for the other team to be willing to do such a deal. And I don't know if the Bulls really have a whole lot to give up for something like that. Does that make sense?
No, you're right. And I mean, look, they're struggling a little bit, but I think that this is kind of the growing pains that we thought that we would see at the beginning of the season when they got off to that hot start, because this team hasn't really played together at all. And now they're kind of settling in and teams are starting to figure them out a little bit. I mean, they're 1-3 in their last four games, which is not great. But, you know, you've got some players, some key players that are dealing with some things. You know, Vooch was out for a while. Tonight, Zach is a game time decision with a non-COVID related illness. Like, he's not feeling well. He's got a fever, but it's not COVID. So, like, some guys are going through some stuff right now. You're a quarter of the way through the season. Like, it'll be okay. It'll be fine.
Black and Abdallah talking football with you. And Abdallah, the biggest football news over the weekend was in the college world. Lincoln Riley heading to USC. I want to ask you, coming up next, USC went out and they got the best name possible. People didn't think he was available. If the Bears end up firing Matt Nagy and they tried to do the same thing, what if? Who are the three names you would look at if the Bears tried to pull off the same thing? I'll tell you the three names that came to my mind coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah talking football with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Okay, so biggest news over the weekend was Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. He's leaving Oklahoma. He'll be the head coach at USC. USC took a big swing. They went big game hunting, and they got the biggest name possible, even though there were no rumors beforehand that this was going to take place. Usually, we get a heads up, right? Usually, some rumors, some guys are unhappy in their current location, so you say, okay, maybe that guy could leave, and that's how it plays out. This was kind of unexpected. USC went for it, and they landed the guy they wanted. So, I want to ask you, Abdallah, this. The Bears at the end of this season, I would guess it is likely the Bears move off of having Matt Nagy be the head coach when this season is over, right? Like, would you agree that it would be likely?
Yes.
Okay, likely. So if
I mean, they are in the hunt, but yes.
If the Bears tried to pull the same thing that USC just pulled off, right? You take a big swing, you go for someone that you don't think it's possible that you could get them, but you fire your coach and you ask. I've got three names for you of three head coaches currently in the NFL, and I want to get your gauge on the names that I bring up based on this idea. What if the Bears took a big swing? Is it possible? Okay, here are the three names. The first name that I thought of as I started to think about how USC went and got and landed Lincoln Riley, the first, very first name I thought of for the Chicago Bears, they tried to pull this same thing off. You know, a great coach in a good location, maybe looking for something else. Maybe he can't win big in the current situation that he has. Who is the guy? The first name that I thought of, Sean Payton. Let me throw this out there. If Ryan Pace had a card to play to save his job, wouldn't it be a callback to the connections that he had from the organization he came up in? Isn't that the card? If he was any good, wouldn't that be the play for Ryan Pace to do everything in his,
yeah,
everything he can possibly do to try and land Sean Payton?
It's not the first name I thought of, but it is a good name. EIU connection. Maybe Yurko can help. But I think that it's a, hasn't, isn't the story that the Saints have had their best drafts since Pace left?
Well, that is true. I would also say, what is the major problem with the New Orleans Saints this season to why they probably won't make the playoffs?
Quarterback.
He no longer has a quarterback.
Yeah.
Ryan Pace has a quarterback now. I'm just throwing names out there. I've got two other names for
you. My first name that I wrote down, I bet it's one of your two names.
My other two before you give it to
Should we say them at the same time?
No. I got two more for you. Here, number two.
No, I want to see if I guessed it before you.
Number two. Maybe this guy didn't win enough in his current situation. I don't think it means he's a bad head coach.
Mm.
Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
It is possible that if the 49ers kind of tank out here the rest of the season, they're playing good now, football now, so he is likely to be okay. But even if he's okay, wouldn't Kyle Shanahan be worth a conversation to try and land? And then my final name, the team he coaches yesterday got blown out. And maybe his outburst earlier in the year about USC and how he wasn't going anywhere.
He wasn't even an option for
me. Maybe it was fueled by some uneasiness behind the scenes. What about Mike Tomlin?
Never.
You wouldn't even take a swing?
Nope.
You wouldn't take a swing?
Why take a swing at something I can't hit?
All right.
Because here's the thing.
USC thought it's the same thing.
No.
You would have thought that Lincoln Riley was available before yesterday?
You got to understand extenuating circumstances here. Like, USC was lurking because they knew, one, Oklahoma's going to the SEC. The dude is going to have to try to out-recruit Saban, Kirby Smart, whoever takes over at LSU. Why am I blanking on the name? Napier? Who just took the Florida job?
Jimbo.
Jimbo's out there. Yeah, like, you're not going to out-recruit that. Then they lost to Oklahoma State. You're not going to the college football playoff this year. Now it's time to swoop in. You've got quarterback issues. Half your roster coming in is from Southern California. So that was perfect. Tomlin isn't going anywhere.
Okay.
Why? Because he's not going to get fired until he retires. That dude has a job for life.
I'm not saying these coaches are going to be fired.
No.
I'm saying you take
that.
A swing at a coach
but
who you may think
you?
Is unavailable
I
at
get
the
that.
Moment.
I get that. But why would a dude who's working for an organization that has had three head coaches come here.
Oh, I fully understand that.
Where we go through them like their prom dates. I don't know if that's a thing because you only have two prom dates because you go to prom twice, right? Never mind. Bad analogy.
Do you want crack a second analogy?
No, I'm good. All right. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
I'm just giving you names who have jobs at the moment who seem unrealistic, but I wonder if you ask Sean Payton, Kyle Shanahan, mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin, mm-hmm. if those are names that would be available.
My number one, I know he's old.
No. No.
Why?
No.
Why not?
No.
He's done it before.
No.
He's in a perfect situation. You have the perfect situation. You spend money on the defense. You've got a rookie quarterback in place. He's done it before. Pete Carroll knows how to win.
I don't.
Hasn't he said this is his last contract,
I think,
too?
I think he's done,
we can't take swings? We can't take swings now? You don't want to take swings?
Swinging against a team is way different than swinging against age.
I think he's done hopping around on the sideline.
He's fine.
Bellencourt in the South Loop. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bellencourt?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
We're good, man.
That's good. Hey, my first choice is Josh McDonald because I believe he's going to bring discipline. I know he's kind of erratic, but my question is this: why ain't nobody mentioning Byron Leftwich?
I think we've all mentioned Byron Leftwich.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Then.
I mentioned him last week when people called in about him when I was hosting, and then we mentioned him on Friday when we were talking.
Okay, I must have been eating turkey, man. I missed that.
Hey, man, if the turkey's good, keep eating it.
Thanks for the call, Bellencourt.
Hey, but check this out. I believe that he's a diamond in the rough, man. But Josh McDonald is the man, and I believe Byron is a diamond in the rough, man. When he become a great coach, look out.
All right, thanks for the call, Bellencourt. Appreciate it. Terrell and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, good evening, fellas. How you doing?
We're good, man.
Hey, I actually agree with the gentleman that was bringing up Josh McDaniels and Byron Leftwich. I think either one of those two would be good choices. But I did want to touch on the comment that the gentleman made a little while ago about making a trade with Kobe and Pat.
Yeah, what do you think?
If you wanted to trade either one of those, Kobe and or Pat, why not try to shoot for DeAndre Jordan? That might shore up some of our interior defense issue.
No, he's no good.
Think he's too far along?
He's
no good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, he's no good anymore. Terrell.
I mean, that's kind of like the Bucks taking a flyer on Cousins.
Well, he's already picked up with the Bucks.
That's what I'm saying. I think Cousins gives you more than DeAndre Jordan at this point.
Agreed. Right.
Thanks for the call, Terrell.
All right, fellas, take it easy.
Jacob in Lamont. Jacob, you're on ESPN 1000.
Jacob.
Hello.
Hello, Jacob.
Hey, I just want to talk about Notre Dame a little bit. Yeah, you guys there?
Yep, we're. Oh, yeah. Hold on, Jacob. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got you. Oh,
I'm here.
Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jacob.
All right. Yeah, I just want to talk about Notre Dame. I understand.
Hello.
They're. Yeah. You guys messing with me?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, sorry,
go
Jacob.
Ahead. Go ahead, Jacob.
That was good.
Go ahead, my friend.
All right, I just want to talk about Notre Dame. I understand all the love they get because they're the beloved Fighting Irish, but, like, I don't get it. Every time they make the playoffs, they wind up getting, you know, their faces kicked and they get embarrassed. And every year everyone keeps wanting to win, and I don't get it. I don't know why the push is to get them in the playoffs. They're not going to make it. I personally don't think they're going to make it far. I think it's just going to be the same end result, that either Georgia or any other teams are just going to make them look stupid, and then it's going to go make the program get set back a couple feet.
Well, I don't think this year that they're overrated, Jacob. I think they've won football games here in the last month and a half where they've completely blown out Power mm-hmm. 5 schools. And so I think where they're at this year, they're aptly rated. I don't think anyone's really making a case for them to get in over schools who have better credentials. I think people are only making the case that, like, if all blank happens this weekend, Notre Dame's the likely team to benefit if everything falls apart in this upcoming weekend.
Right. Yeah. If everything, if there's a disaster that goes on and every team that should win loses, yeah, I get how they push in. Where do you guys sit on Cincinnati? Do you really think Cincinnati is the fourth best team, or is it just because it's that undefeated push?
I'm skeptical of Cincinnati, but my philosophy is this. If you're going to let them in, this is probably the year to do it. I mean, this is going to be a year without, I mean, think about it. This is a year where it was going around on Saturday. There's not going to be a Clemson. There's not going to be an Oklahoma. There's not going to be an Ohio State. There's probably not going to be an Alabama in this year's college football playoff. So of all the years to put them in this year. And if they make some noise, more power to them. If they don't, then that's why group of five teams don't get in the playoff. Simple
right,
as that.
So then, and that's what I was thinking too. They're just going to put them in to appease it. Like, all right, let's just do it. You know, if they win out, they win out.
I think they're we'll a good team. I think they've bolstered their schedule. They added Indiana, but Indiana's really bad this year. They beat Notre Dame,
right.
And we're talking about Notre Dame getting in. So if they beat Notre Dame, they deserve to be in.
Thanks for the call, Jacob.
Yeah, no. All right, have a good one, guys. Bye.
That's Jacob in Lamont. It's Blocking Abdallah talking football with you. Listen, Abdallah, if USC made the big swing and they went and got Lincoln Riley, we didn't think Lincoln Riley was available. If the Bears
had a
chance, and if someone was available, you don't think they are at the moment. I think Sean Payton's the name. The connection to Ryan Pace. I like that would be the only thing Ryan Pace could do, I think, to save his job.
He goes in, closed door meeting, we're just going to lunch. Don't worry about it. Closes the door and says, I can get a Sean.
I mean, isn't that the play? Like a call back to where he came from? We'll take more of your calls next.
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Talking Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Talking football with you at 312-332-3776. Jeff, downtown, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I would love Sean Payton. I think most Bears fans would agree with me. The issue, I think, when swinging for the fences with Sean is that I believe it was Kaplan who reported when Ryan Pace was being recruited to Chicago is that Sean Payton was the one who said, don't ever take that job. You know, that organization is uprooted from evil on the inside. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Bears would have hurdles to overcome in this situation. And this is a total what-if scenario. And it's totally based off the idea that no one expected Lincoln Riley to go to USC, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're daydreaming and if you're thinking of who could be the Bears' next head coach, like, why would you just limit yourself to the available candidates who are, like, the coordinators, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea would be if there's a fish out there big enough that you know is the one, go after him. See, make them say no. Like, that, to me, is a better way about going into this than just saying, all right, Brian Daboll, all right, Eric Bieniemy, okay, just a couple of coordinators. Let's hope they turn out. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll be great head coaches. I told you last week on the show that, you know, to be honest, I want someone with head coaching experience. I don't want to do the coordinator thing first time hire again. I would rather look at guys like Leslie Frazier or Todd Bowles or coaches who have been head coaches before who still have really good credentials, deserve a second chance. I would like something like that, including guys like Brian Kelly. I mentioned Brian Kelly to you last week. I would talk to him.
Yeah, you did. I don't know how he would do in the pros, but that's fine. I mean, I just don't think there's anything wrong with there's so many examples of it working with a coordinator that it's not just like, oh, these fringe teams that hire coordinators and not first-time head coaches. Like, it works all the time. Look at the Chargers. You know, like they're having success this season. I know they lost yesterday, but they're setting a culture. They're having a good season. You know, like it works.
We're all right. That can work.
Yeah.
My way can work, right? It's all about getting the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? Like, I'm burned from this Matt Nagy situation because I don't think this guy was prepared to be a head coach.
No.
And therefore, if you've never done it before, it's probably more difficult to grow into that as your first time, you know, spot. But
yeah,
there are guys as first time head coaches who are pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue there. He's coaching probably the best team in the NFL right now.
Absolutely.
FedEx Herald and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Herald.
What's up, boys?
What's up?
So a name that came in my head, too, was Greg Roman, who actually has been in the Baltimore Ravens organization since 2019. And he helped Lamar actually win that MVP, man. But, again, that's just I feel like he's a good coordinator who actually can get Justin Fields where he needs to be at, you know. And Justin Fields, he I'm not going to lie, he can run, man. So I think bringing Greg Roman to the Bears, man, I think that would be a good opportunity for Justin Fields, you know. And, I mean, I would love to see Sean Payton, but, I mean, I don't think Sean Payton would want to come here. But, like I said, a name that came to my mind was Greg Roman, man, with the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator, man. But I want to hear your thoughts on that, man.
Good call, Harold. Appreciate it. Greg Roman.
It's a good name. My only hesitation with Greg Roman is that he's been an offensive coordinator for 10 years. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He was an offensive coordinator with San Francisco with Harbaugh. And from 2011 to 2014 with Kaepernick, he went to the Bills with their offensive coordinator. Then he was a senior offensive assistant and tight ends coach with the Ravens in 2017. Then assistant head coach and tight ends coach in 2018. And then in 2019, he took over as offensive coordinator. Why hasn't he gotten a shot yet?
I don't know. He's been a hot name for quite some time.
But why hasn't he gotten a shot yet?
People have talked about him for a long time. No one's hired him as a head coach.
It's weird to me that he hasn't been hired yet.
His coaching run reminds me of Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Fangio didn't get a run as a head coach for a very long time, and then the Broncos gave him a shot.
Exactly.
It seems like that's working out,
even though he was
kind of on the hot seat heading into this season.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of need a quarterback, but Nick and Lyons, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey guys, I mean, we've made so many ridiculous trades for like quarterbacks in our history, recent history. Why can't we make a trade to get a guy like Sean Payton or Mike Tomlin? I mean, if you want to give away capital for quarterbacks, give it away to me, the quarterback's the general, but somebody like your head coach. He's like the second most important player on your team. Not player, but you know what I'm saying. Give away some draft capital. Here's some few picks. Go get Sean Payton. Go get Mike Tomlin. Get an established coach instead of all these freaking offensive coordinators and that's not working out, and it hasn't worked out at all.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I don't know if I would give up draft capital, but I do think that if you knock on some doors, you could find some things out.
What are you knocking on? Wasn't Sean Payton in a trade rumor once upon a time?
Yeah, he was. What doors are you knocking on?
You just knock.
That's not how contracts work.
You knock, you ask. All right, don't ask.
Do I need to explain contracts to you?
You get to keep Nagy.
I don't want Nagy.
Adam Abdallah wants Matt Nagy here next season.
Nope, not even going to let you finish that. Nope,
you
nope,
going to
talk
Nagy
over you the whole time. That's not real tape.
You want
Matt
Nagy.
Nope.
As your football coach.
Nope.
Barry on I-57.
Hey, good afternoon or good evening, gentlemen. Real quick,
what's
Brian
up, Barry?
Kelly is a no because if I remember correctly, his previous experience, he had a lot of issues with African-American players, and I just don't think he's a good fit in the NFL, especially after what just happened with Gruden out there in L.A. But what I wanted to ask you guys about a proposed trade, what do you think about packaging up Coby White and Williams and trying to go get Marvin Bagley from Sacramento? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks for the call, Barry. I think that would be too much for Marvin Bagley, to be honest. I mean, Patrick Williams, I think, is a better player right now. I know he's injured. And for what you want to do as a team for the Chicago Bulls, you need shooting guards. You need guys who can shoot from three. You're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league as far as attempts and makes. So you need Coby White to be shooting threes. If you're giving him up, you need a heck of a lot more than getting Marvin Bagley back.
Yeah.
I mean, Bagley hasn't done anything to this point in his NBA career.
I love you just shooting down people's
dreams. It's a nice call, Barry, but let's get real here. Bagley's done absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't like people really are into the idea of trading for Marvin Bagley. Why? because he's an available young big who's done nothing. Yeah. He was drafted high, mm-hmm. and the Kings don't play him?
Yeah.
All right.
That's exactly why.
Okay, I'll trade. Who do you want to trade? Troy Brown Jr. for him?
No. I mean, sure.
Okay, we'll do that.
You heard him. Pat Williams. Don't know. Kobe White.
I'm not trading actual contributing players to this team for Marvin Bagley.
Okay.
All right.
Don't do it.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
More on your NBA podcast.
What do you mean more on my... We're previewing the Bulls game. The Bulls play the Hornets tonight at 7 at the UC.
Yeah. Ball versus ball.
Listen, the Bulls have lost 3 of 4. They lost to Miami on Saturday night, 107-104.
Mm-hmm.
DeRozan at 28. The Bulls had 22 turnovers against the Heat on Saturday night. The Heat only had 10 turnovers. Listen, this team, haven't we talked about it here on this show that the key to the Bulls' success this season is going to be taking care of the basketball because of the lack of three-point shooting? You play good defense, take care of the basketball, you're going to be in these games. Well, the reason the Heat were so successful on Saturday night, the Bulls kept turning the ball over, and then their zone defense limited what the Bulls could do offensively, and they just forced them into bad shots.
Here's my problem, right? The loss to the Pacers was expected, kind of. You know, you've got a big game against New York who beat you last time. You're coming back from a road trip. People kind of thought that they would lose that New York game because it was the first game at home after a long road trip. They dropped the second one of a second night of a back-to-back. It happens, right? I get it. It happens. Some nights you just fall flat. What I can't get around is the Houston loss. Like, the Rockets loss was awful. That's a bad loss. That team had won one game before you went into that building and gave them their second win. Like, it's bad. They lost 118-113. Then you beat up on a really bad Orlando team. That's fine. Okay, fine. You beat up on them. And then you lose to the Heat. Like, those are measuring stick games to me. Like, the Heat, that's a measuring stick game. The Knicks, measuring stick game. And you, like, that's, to me, that's where Eric Spoelstra, like, he outcoached them. They turned the ball over too many times. They weren't hitting threes. Like, it was just an overall bad game against a team that you're probably going to see, you might see in the playoffs this year.
A lot of what the Heat did was, with that zone, they forced DeMar DeRozan to move the basketball out of his hands early in possessions. And think about it. He's basically turned into the de facto point guard, especially in late-game situations for the Bulls. And so the moment the ball left his hands, they then forced him to be the open three-point shooter on a lot of those possessions, and he's not comfortable doing that.
No.
He shot threes pretty well to this point in the season, but you could tell on Saturday night when the ball comes back to him throughout a possession and he's standing there wide open from three, mm-hmm. he like hesitates, he takes a dribble like a foot into inside the line and forces up a shot. It's not what he wants to do. He wants to drive one-on-one at someone right around the free throw line and pull up for that 10 to 15 foot jump shot. It's his sweet spot. But once the Heat took him out of that rhythm, you know, Zach didn't really do a heck of a whole lot in the fourth quarter outside of just jacking up three-point shots too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get to the rim. That was like the other thing we've talked about with DeMar DeRozan, why he's been so good to this point in the season. Get to the free throw line. Zach needs to do the same.
Yeah.
So the Bulls and the Hornets coming up at 7 o'clock at the United Center on the west side of the city. It's Black and Abdallah. We'll continue taking your calls. We also have the song of the night coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi, the number three. That's the number three. CH. I'm flustered by this news,
right,
man. There's some breaking news.
Well,
yeah,
get through the 3Chi.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That's the number three. CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
It's Black and Abdallah. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Taking your phone calls here on ESPN 1000. Also, remember, download the podcast Black and Abdallah here on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So here's the report from Yahoo Sports. Pete Thamel, sources, LSU is expecting to hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly as the school's next head coach. An announcement could come as early as tomorrow. So it's a storyline that we were talking about at the start of this show about 50 minutes ago here on ESPN 1000 is that The Athletic was reporting that LSU was interested in Brian Kelly. Yahoo is now reporting that sources are telling Pete Thamel that LSU is expecting to hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly, which is a humongous move in the college football world. We see Lincoln Riley go to USC yesterday. Oklahoma is now an open spot looking for their next head coach. And it sounds as if Notre Dame will be searching for their next head coach within days, which is crazy because Notre Dame hasn't officially been eliminated from the college football playoff yet. There is a outside chance that Notre Dame finds their way into the college football playoff this season based on what could take place this upcoming Saturday.
Now, okay, now here's this. You and I have been talking about all the moving pieces, college football.
You got to ask, man.
USC.
My whole theory to the theme to this things. Hour, you got to ask.
Does Notre Dame ask for Urban? Because he's always talked about it.
Oh, no.
Or.
Urban's done in these situations.
Or do they go and say, well, Ohio's pretty much, I mean, Notre Dame's pretty much Ohio. Just get Fickell. Who can recruit the Midwest?
Well, it's where Brian Kelly came from.
Yeah.
So it would make a lot of sense.
The pipeline, just there.
To be honest, if I'm Notre Dame, I'm immediately calling Matt Campbell.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
And
yeah.
I think Matt Campbell would win big at Notre Dame.
Well, or he could go to Oklahoma. Like, there's two great jobs open now. Notre Dame and Oklahoma are still open. Like, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
And you're crazy. Well, there's reports now coming from other people with blue checks who don't have as many followers as other people with blue checks, I guess, that Oklahoma is basically going to get Venables.
Yeah,
Brett Venables, I mean, he has
a connection to Oklahoma. Yeah. So Brett Venables has been the longtime defensive coordinator under Dabo Swinney. Mm-hmm. He also is the highest paid coordinator in all of college football.
Yeah.
He's been a name each year that kind of passes in college football. People always suggest that he's the guy that should have his own program because he's that good. And so it would make a lot of sense if he went back to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
As Oklahoma enters the SEC, but Notre Dame is in a situation now where it's possible that Brian Kelly may take this LSU job, and Yahoo Sports is reporting. Pete Thamel, dude. Very good. Someone we talked about a lot on the college shows. Pete Thamel is reporting that Brian Kelly is going to take this LSU job, which is shocking breaking news here tonight in the college football world.
I love it. I love chaos. I'm just very confused about what he's going to do if they make the college football playoff. Like, is he just done?
Yeah, he doesn't coach.
That's it?
I mean, yeah.
It's a playoff game.
You think. He's not going to coach
that. It's a playoff game.
Isn't Tommy Reese their offensive coordinator? Let him do it.
Tommy. Oh, can you imagine if Tommy Reese wins a game and they just make him interim? They just say you're interim and then they just remove it, but Tommy Reese?
That's not what Notre Dame does. No, they're going to go out and get the top guy that they can find.
Brian Kelly wasn't the top guy when he got the job.
He was a hot name.
He was.
Brian Kelly was in the same situation.
He was the Luke Fickell.
Yeah, he was the same situation that Fickell is in now.
Go get the Fickell.
Well, yeah.
Get the Fickell.
You know, what's funny is there's a name that he just got a contract extension like a few weeks ago, PJ Fleck. And like it's interesting that there's a lot of big name jobs that opened up that Fleck has been rumored for in previous years. He re-upped with Minnesota, yet he's not in play for any of this.
God, that fat tie, that gold fat tie knot, that big and no.
All right, we
no,
have breaking you. News. Yahoo is reporting that LSU is expecting to hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly as the school's next head football coach. An announcement could come as early as tomorrow. That's per Yahoo Sports. So what next for Notre Dame? We will give you the song of the night, and we'll take your football calls coming up next in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.